I may see a glass before me. It is not at present an object of enjoyment for me. I only see it. But if I am very thirsty, then this glass full of water immediately is perceived by me as an object of enjoyment. It is by drinking the contents of this glass that my thirst is quenched. It's an object of enjoyment. So there is a difference between an object of perception and the object of enjoyment. Many things in the world we only see, we watch. And we watch in different states of consciousness. Supposing you are in a great hurry and you are running. At that time there is a beautiful sunrise. But you are running and somebody says, look, look, what a beautiful sunrise. You have no time to enjoy the sunrise at all because you are in a great hurry. The state of consciousness is different. Or supposing you are very tired, extremely tired, you just want to sleep, and somebody says, look, what a beautiful sunset. You feel no interest in seeing the sunset because you are about to go to sleep and you want to sleep as soon as possible. So a beautiful sunset makes no meaning for you. It is not an object of your enjoyment. Now, this statement says that everything in the world, you should be in such a state of consciousness, every time, every moment, you should be in such a state of consciousness that everything is meant for your enjoyment. You can enjoy. If there is a sunrise, you should have all the time to look at the sunrise, even to write a good poem. That much leisure you should have. Or if an artist, you have all the leisure to watch the sun, to imagine and to beautifully make a symbol of it on your canvas and make a beautiful painting. It's a question of your state of consciousness. If you are in a state of leisure, so if you want to enjoy anything properly, you should have a state of leisure. You should have such a state of consciousness that you are not pressed, compelled by anything. It is in that state of consciousness. The more quiet you are, the greater is your capacity of enjoyment. Now all this is for enjoyment. If people say, oh, I'm sorrowful, I have pain, it means that you are not seeing the world rightly. You are not experiencing the world rightly. If you experience the world rightly, everything should give you enjoyment. Now, knowing this very well, that we are not constantly in a state of leisure, and not in a state of great rest and silence and peace. Therefore, the composer, the rishi who has written this Upanishad, he says, tena tyaktena. Anything that you see, you renounce. If you renounce, this is the trick, a device of enjoyment. If you renounce the object, then you will be placed in a state of consciousness where it will be enjoyed. Now, this is a statement which many people may not accept. Therefore, it is a statement to be contemplated upon. You need to contemplate. Is it true that when you renounce, you enjoy? normal experience is the contrary. It's only when you try to grab something, take into your hand and consume it, that you enjoy. But this one says, by renouncing you enjoy. It looks a very strange statement. Therefore, you may say that this is a statement to be contemplated upon. Yes. So,
to some extent only.
Yes, I mean it's a part answer, but it is a correct answer. Renunciation is effected by many means. And here the Upanishad does not tell you what are the different ways by which you can renounce. Your statement is a commentary upon it. That one of the ways by which you can renounce is by method of surrender. So you can see the first statement was what is called an ontological statement. I am now giving you a very difficult word. The first statement is an ontological statement. Since you have done philosophy to some extent with me, some of you at least, this word needs to be repeated without much difficulty. What is ontological? It's a technical word, ontology. Ontology is a study of reality as it is, as distinguished from knowledge of reality as it appears. If I say that this table is table, this table is table, it is a statement of appearance. If I say that this table is in motion, it is a deeper statement of reality as it is. So ontology is a study of reality as it is, really, ultimately, truly, finally. Now the first statement of this verse is ontological. It says that really, ultimately, if you go behind everything, you find everything in the world is in motion. Whether it appears to be stable or not, it is all in motion. Secondly, that all this has structure, which we may not see. We may not see structures where there are pure hollows, there are no structures. Or pure solid blocks, you don't see any structures. But Upanishad says it is not true. Everything in the world is in motion, and everything in the world is a structure. And this structure is of such a nature, it can be used for habitation. And finally, it is actually habitation for the Lord, not for you. It is habitation by the Lord. Normally, we think that everything is around us and we can stay ourselves in it. The Upanishad says, you are wrong. Ontologically, it is not true. I may be staying in this house, therefore I say this is my dwelling house. I am dwelling, we are dwelling in this. Upanishad says, no, it is a dwelling place for the Lord. This is the ontological statement. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe in it or not, is ontological. Ontological means that after having made study of everything in the world, it is a statement which you can make only when all the studies are over.